Big Fluff.
Yes, the Simpsons have come a long way since an old drunk made humans out of his rabid characters to pay off his gambling debts. Who knows what adventures they'll have between now and the time the show becomes unprofitable. I'm Troy McClure, and I'll leave you with what we all came here to see, hardcore nudity!
Hobo Radio, the official podcast of HoboTrashCan.com. You can share your thoughts on the show anytime by emailing Joel at Murphy's Law@HoboTrashCan.com.
This is Pete Holmes. You're listening to Hobo Radio, and I think that's great.
And now, here's Joel and...
Lars.
Hello again.
I'm Joel Murphy, and for the 500th time, this is Hobo Radio, and with me is my good friend Lars.
Hello again. This is Hobo Radio. And for the 500th time, I will apologize for being Lars Big Vinegar Periwinkle, and to my left is one half of the very popular Curioso podcast, Joe Taylor.
Hello again. This is Hobo Radio. I'm Joe Taylor, and welcome to the 500th episode. To my left is Christopher Scarborough.
Hey, welcome to Hobo Radio. I'm the other half of the Curioso podcast. I'm Christopher Scarborough. Thank you for joining us for the 500th episode. And to my left is Mr. Marty McGuire.
Yes, and as the chorus swells behind me, hello again. This is Hobo Radio. I am Marty McGuire for the second time. No, the third time on this show. Who cares? There have been 500. What's a margin of error? Congratulations to both of you on 500 episodes. And I'm from a podcast called We Have to Ask, I guess, that people might
know. I just think you're way off on that number, by the way, Marty. I'm going to call you out on that, because how many tournament episodes did you do? I feel like you...
I just count those as one.
As one?
That was just one?
Just the tournament episodes.
I was just going to say thank you all for doing the show. It was so much background noise. This is great for our official 500th episode. But you guys are all at the big theater. They're very generously offering up their space for this. And there's a chorus in the background.
Very generously. Yeah. Next door to us is an improvised musical improv jam. So they are improvising songs, which you will then be unable to remove because you won't be able to find the song online to get a sample of the audio to subtract it from our audio. And
let me just say, big, not just an adjective, also an acronym, right?
True.
Oh, no, wait. Acronym? What's the thing?
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. You looked at me funny, like I was saying it wrong.
I thought you were going to say something
An acronym,
else.
It's like scuba, right?
Right.
Where you have all the things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like scuba. It is.
Do you think scuba is an adjective?
No, acronym.
It's an acronym.
Close the scuba door. You can use it as an adjective.
I guess.
What, the scuba?
Yeah, I guess if you were wearing a scuba suit, I guess it... I know.
More of a verb. I'm going to go scuba.
Go scuba yourself.
Have you scubaed?
Scuba Steve.
Scuba Steve, damn you.
Anyways, I just say references now. Here it is. 500 episodes. I just say movie references. I'll just sit here until a movie reference pops into my head.
Well, oh my God, do we turn into extras when the whistle blows?
It's just catchphrases.
It's all just catchphrases, and what's his name from Coldplay just stops by. That's our show now.
Oh my God. Okay. Oh, Jesus Christ. Since this is the 500th episode and this has just come up, Joel, can we take a walk down memory lane and share it with these gentlemen, please?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
I don't know where you're going, but let's go.
Scuba Steve. Yeah. You remember what movie that was from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's from Big Daddy, of course.
Yeah, Big Daddy. Joel, where did you see Big Daddy?
Oh, I saw Big Daddy in
Joel, tell me where you saw Big Daddy.
Where were you on the night that you saw Big Daddy?
He sounds like a monster that haunts that haunts New Orleans. No, where did you see the Adam Sandler vehicle, Big Daddy?
I like to think of it as a John Stewart vehicle, but
pardon me. For
it was for both I saw it
he
in,
was in. Right.
Yeah, he really carried the movie, I think.
Yeah.
And also, just fitting side note for anyone, no one cares or knows this, but. This show, much like The Daily Show, existed before Lars was on it, but not memorably. So, just want to throw that out there.
Oh, we heard the Molly.
A Molly laugh.
Yeah. The Molly guffaw really got in Molly. The background.
Yeah. Molly's a historian of the show. She's listened to that early. Those early episodes. No, but I saw the movie Big Daddy in Nebraska, where, of course, that's where you'd see it. What about you, Lars?
For the first time, I saw it in a movie theater in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Well, that's so weird. Me too.
Yeah. Here's the thing. We went to Lincoln, Nebraska for the International Thespian Competition.
Mm-hmm. Where, over the summer.
It was over the summer of, I think it was, I was going into my senior year and you had just graduated at my...
But still went to a theater.
Of course.
Like,
I mean, eight of us went. eight of us from the whole goddamn high school. And they hold it in the center of the country because it's easier for everyone to get there. Hawaii even went. It was a fucking thing.
I also think they held it in Nebraska so that, like, you got a bunch of high school kids. They're not going to wander off too far in Lincoln,
also,
Nebraska.
Also, there ain't shit to do.
Right.
Yeah.
They're
coming back.
You're not getting into any trouble.
Yeah.
And the reason why I brought it up, I had just told this story. There was this kid that went with us. Did I just tell a story on the podcast about?
No,
Kevin
you
Kirk?
Told this story in our lives when you were here in Los Angeles for my wedding.
I forgot. Sometimes we talk when we're not on the show.
Yeah,
and he
occasionally.
So we wake up in the morning of the day that we're supposed to leave. Lincoln, Nebraska. So there's all these high school kids, and we were staying in the dorm rooms of the college that is in Lincoln, Nebraska. I don't know what that is. University of Nebraska?
Probably.
Sure.
Probably. Yeah.
No one can correct us, so yes.
So we're we're all milling around the bottom of this building, and people are taking shuttle buses there, and there is a gentleman there who specifically tells us eight folks... And our, I think, two chaperones. No, this shuttle is not for you. You stay here.
Mm-hmm.
And you will get the next shuttle to the airport. And then we find out shortly after that. It was quite shortly after that. You should have gotten on that bus. Now that you have not gotten on that
bus. That was the
bus,
only shuttle. Yeah.
You're not going to catch your plane home.
Wow.
And there's still kids milling around, and there was this kid. There's this kid named, I'll just say his first name. His name was Kevin, and he sucked. Like, he just sucked, I guess. He was just, like, he was just that kid. There were eight of us, and, like, of course he came, because the kid that sucks always shows up to all of the things. And
you get trapped in Nebraska with the kid who sucks.
He also sucks. The kid that sucks in a total sitcom move, I had a friend of mine that I went to church with who asked me to go to her prom. This would have been probably the same year. Different school. She asked me to go. Oh. I get in a limo. This motherfucker's in the limo, like, as a date of her friend. I'm like, come on. This only happens in a lazy sitcom. Like, how am I stuck with this guy in a limo for the night?
You're right. Going to a prom that was also not his school, because you two went to school together.
No, wow. He just randomly ended up there somehow. He didn't know. We didn't know the same people.
It wasn't just like he's a total goober. He sucked a lot. Like, to like fast forward to now, because I felt bad about treating this kid poorly. Because I'd be like, just Kevin, just shut the fuck up. So I felt bad, and fast forward to now, I kind of looked him up because I really did feel bad about how poorly I treated this kid. I was like, maybe he was just reaching out or something. I don't know. Anyways, before he was a Trump supporter, he was a big supporter of the president of the Philippines.
Whoa.
So like he has just sucked all the way around.
It's men's rights activism is happening on his Facebook page a lot. It's bleak.
Wow.
So we're standing there in the lobby with this kid that sucks.
And still sucks.
Yeah. He really sucks. And he pulls, he has his hands in his pockets, and he pulls one hand out of his pocket with a sausage link, and then he eats the sausage link.
It's like a Homer Simpson move.
Yeah, it sounds like a lead up to a bit or a bad joke he's going to do on someone. But he eats the sausage.
I was like, Kevin. What did you just do? He's like, I had some sausage from breakfast and I saved it. I said, Kevin, why is the sausage in your pocket? He goes, well, I wrapped it in a napkin. It's just not sitting in my pocket. And I said, Kevin, look, it's our last day here. There's still girls around and stuff, man. I got to stand next to you and you're pulling sausage out of your pocket and just eating it. Hold the napkin in your hand if you want to have some sausage. And he's like, well, I don't want it all the time. I just want, like, Kevin, you suck. You just suck, man.
I just want a nibble of my pocket sausage.
Right.
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 I'm pretty sure that's a euphemism. Yeah.
This is great. I think now that you've found him on Facebook, it's time for you to catch up. And just go ahead and tell that pocket sausage story. I think it would be really great for you to reconnect.
You know, there's a I've been toying with this idea because there's a county councilman who at one point in time in Boy Scouts, my cousin and I both duct taped him to a tree and lit toilet paper on fire at his feet.
Okay,
because he also sucked. And I've been really thinking about maybe finding his,
abode
candidacy and page and
toilet papering his
and
house,
telling the story.
By the way, you know what though? We mocked Kevin, but think about it. You get duct taped to a tree. You might be there for a while. You know, it'd come in handy. You reach in that pocket and pull out some sausages.
pocket sausage.
Yeah. Oh, it's warm again. How well did this work out?
My pants are greasy.
Anyway, this is pretty much. It's been 500 episodes of this.
Yeah. So if you're just tuning in to Hobo Radio.
Yeah, if this is the first one you listen to and you're like, maybe I'll go back. They made 500 of them. There must be something to it. It's not. do you guys want to... I had a story. This is this happened just this morning, but I'm going to share this with you. I was killing some time. Molly had an appointment, and so I went into Target. Because I needed to use the bathroom, and
that's why you go there.
Yeah, that's their slogan. I think that's why it's a Target. What do you think the Target is for?
Like, hit the Target,
Target.
Yeah. But so this is visual. But if you guys all want to close your eyes and picture this, I'm walking into the bathroom, and in front of me is Santa Claus, full Santa outfit. Like he's got. And this is a good. This is perfect Santa. Like, Santa Claus, he's walking in the bathroom. He's got the real beard. He's got the full suit. He looks great. He's walking into the bathroom with a Target employee together. Oh. And they walk in, and they both go into the bathroom stall because there's some problem with his costume. And now I'm in the bathroom with Santa and a Target employee, and the Target employee is, fiddling with his belt. And they're talking about fixing his pants, and I just it's this visual that I can't. My brain is okay, look, I know this is a dude. I know this is just a guy that's a
but
Target.
You've seen that porn before.
But it's what is happening? Like, this visual, if I had any spirit of Christmas left, I'm pretty sure, this is the end of it.
Hey, you gotta be a little naughty to get on the nice list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just two sets of legs and a lot of if I do this to your belt, then I think, hold on.
I mean, you were doing the Santa voice right there.
You did the Santa voice.
Well, if you do this to my belt.
If you do this
this to my mouth.
Oh, that's my pocket sausage.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So, I'm sorry. Did Target have a Santa?
Apparently, I don't know what was going on.
A guy in a Santa suit just showed up
because what Target? What Target needs a Santa?
I know. Well, you know, was it the Target that we went through? You and I,
like you drove.
Oh no, no, no!
You're talking about the one at the mall.
The other side.
The one where you and I went in the bathroom stall and fiddled around.
Yeah. Is it the Target where we used their free parking garage and then went into the bathroom?
No. This is a standalone Target. This is a different one. You know, we're not getting money, but it was the one in Pasadena, the nicer one. There's a lot of Target. We actually, Molly and I talk about, this one's the good Target. It's not the one that's in the mall. Shit. You know, it's the better Target. A little further...
You know you live in a good area when there's a good Target and a bad Target. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You live in a regular area when there's a Target and a Walmart.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
What if you live in an area where there's a bad Target and a Santa sausage Target?
Oh.
Scarred face territory.
Right? Yeah, maybe. I feel like the property tax is really low.
I mainly bring it up because I thought maybe you guys wanted to get in on this with me. I'm writing a sequel to I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. It's I Saw a Target Employee Fondling Santa Claus. You know. But if
in
you guys want in on this.
Restroom, Christmas Eve. Yeah.
I can work. Yeah.
I don't like the phrase, it writes itself, but that song does write itself.
This is the new goal as I launch myself. Someday Weird Al will have to step down. I mean, he's had three decades of
a
career.
Why don't you shut your fucking mouth?
Whoa.
He will never have to step down.
No, that's
good
true.
Sir.
He doesn't. No, he doesn't. That man doesn't age. Like, how old is Weird Al? That's a good... This is classic
horror. That is a good question. He doesn't age because he's never done drugs. He doesn't drink. Mm-hmm. He's only been married to one person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he can kick so high.
He can kick really high. Yeah.
And his cornea skills are off the
chart. I said it like I know it because I'm a big Weird Al fan. What the fuck are you talking about?
So have you seen him live? Like, we saw him live when he was here in Baltimore. Yeah. He fucking just high kicks when he's doing his acts on stage. He sings and like he'll be like, yeah, I'm bad, Shimon, and like you hear that whip crack, and he fucking points to the sky with his toes, and it's like
he's Babe Ruth.
Yeah, holy shit.
No, he doesn't. He will be wearing an accordion and playing, and then put his foot over his head. Good point. I have seen that. It is incredible.
He's extremely flexible. He's in great shape.
If we also could go back to PSK for a second. Old pocket sausage Kevin, to full circle this, when we were in high school.
Wow, phrasing.
He showed up at my door one day and said, I have tickets to see Weird Al tonight. Do you want to go with me? And I debated it for probably 10 minutes before.
Wow.
The only time I've ever seen Weird Al live was with this kid that we were talking about before.
Yeah. You said yes.
Now, when you say you debated it, here's what I see. You open the door. You're like, ugh, this fucking Kevin. Guy. And Kevin says, hey, he always talked in a Cartman voice because he sucks so bad.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, you want to take it to you right now? You want to go with me? And I see you just like...
Slowly close the door.
Slowly close the door. Make him wait 10 minutes. All right, Kevin, are you driving?
I closed the door. I went and talked to my parents. I'm not even fucking with you. This is legit what happened. And
was he waiting outside? Like,
yeah, no, he's on the front porch.
Oh my god!
And they're like, "Is this Kevin with the pocket sausage?" I don't think you should be hanging out with him. He is not a good influence.
I'm like, I'm not hanging out with him. I don't know why he knows where our house. I don't actually know that, by the way, why he knows where our house was.
He followed
Looking
you home.
Back at the store. He probably did. But I weighed the pros and cons with him while he stood on the front porch and then came back and was like, yeah, I'll go.
Incredible.
Wow. Just want to throw this out there. I did have a Weird Al sighting in the wild one time.
Oh.
Yeah, ooh. On the Ocean City Boardwalk. I guess he was just playing a show out there.
Shut the fuck up.
No, I swear to God.
You saw Weird Al on the Ocean City Boardwalk?
Yeah. Ocean City, Maryland, yeah. He was playing a show at the arena in Ocean City, I think.
There's an arena in Ocean City.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have like lots of conventions and stuff like that there. Sure. And he was playing a show there. It was had to be 15 years ago, something like that. But yeah, he was just walking down the boardwalk and, you know, I waved to him, he waved back. That's kind of neat.
Are you sure it was Weird Al?
Yeah, he had an entourage, a Weird Al entourage of people. I guess like roadies and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Well, like, Turtle and...
I don't know. I've never watched that show.
I can't remember any of the other characters from Entourage.
I meant it in the...
Johnny Drama. Yeah.
Before.
No, what I saw was like a shirtless man with pierced nipples, and he had a leash from each nipple going to a tarantula that was crawling up the board. This is what I see Weird Al's Entourage as. I don't know.
I picture it just as all Jim like Rose, circus freak.
Yeah.
Yeah, I picture it as all like circus acts. Like it's like that's why maybe Chris gave the shout out to him. It's all just like it's like someone on a unicycle like juggling like flaming like bowling pins or something.
Yeah.
And, like,
it's less like an entourage than it is like he is the main tent and these are all the smaller acts circling.
They are the sideshow.
More likely his whole entourage is just like straight edge punks collecting for charities.
Yeah, I was wondering why he waved me over and was like, come hang out. And I was like, I can't. I have things to do. Sorry, Weird Al. Mm. You know?
You know what I love?
But I made that part up.
I have to go to Secrets and get herpes from that pool.
I got a date with Thrasher Fries. They're not gonna eat themselves.
And Thrasher Fries. And Thrasher Fries.
I get the big
bucket. What I love and I find the most relatable about Lin-Manuel Miranda is that he's became insanely famous and was just like, what am I going to do with this newfound power? I'm going to become friends with Weird Al Yankovic. And they just hang out now. Like, that's what he did with I'm the Guy Who Wrote Hamilton. Is he just got a star on the Walk of Fame and Weird Al did the intro for him.
Nice.
Amazing. Yeah.
Like, I kind of just love that's like him and Scott Aukerman were just like, with what any clout we have, we're just going to use that to befriend Weird Al Yankovic.
Well, who would you, like, if you suddenly get famous for something that you do, who would you pick as the one person that you would want to be, like, your buddy? And they have to be, like, it has to be, like,
hold
now,
on.
Right?
Are
like
we alive. Not famous right now?
No, I mean, I'm
We've
saying
done 500 of these. 500 goddamn shows.
Yeah.
You guys are halfway there.
Yeah, we're talking like Weird Al famous. You guys are also, you know, at like Coldplay or what's the other band?
I don't
you
know.
You started with
Coldplay. Who the fuck
know.
Is the other band?
I don't
Any
know.
Fucking band?
The other band.
I'm trying to think of something right underneath Weird Al.
Right underneath Weird Al.
I mean, he's so unique, but he is like
fucking
the tippity top.
Everyone.
That's true.
Who's right under Weird Al and Coldplay?
Dave Matthews Band.
There you go. Isn't Hootie and the Blowfish coming back?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You guys are not that. You are not that. Oh, definitely. No. I don't know why those guys are still alive. I have no fucking clue.
Why do you leave such a lucrative country music career to go back to that piss poor band?
I don't know. Anyway,
look, I mean, you guys can shit on Darius Rucker all you want, but he has the second best version of Wagon Wheel out there.
Who's got the first?
That band that did Wagon Wheel.
Old Crow Medicine Show. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not even.
I don't know why this has been going through my mind since Darius Rucker's name came up, but I feel like there should be a film featuring many of his songs, but for some reason in the horror genre. That's called, like, Darius Rucker Phantom Trucker. And I don't know why that popped into my mind, but it was like, there was a lot there
wasn't
suddenly.
Wasn't there a Meatloaf movie like that?
That was
Paradise
called
Black
Dog.
Paradise by the Dashboard.
There you go. Watch that.
Yeah. Black Dog was really good.
That's a Patrick Swayze movie.
Meatloaf.
That's a Meatloaf movie?
He drugged my ass to the theater because Meatloaf was in it.
I really like Meatloaf. Wow. However, now, his political views, not my favorite.
He's a little out there.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Patrick Swayze's political views at this moment in time?
Isn't he expired?
Yeah, he might not.
his brother's still around.
So that's true. That's true. Black Dog. You know, that Meatloaf movie. I've never heard that one
Meatloaf
before.
Vehicle.
You know my favorite
back in the day, Chris would drag me to any movie that had Meatloaf.
Yeah. You gotta be
him and his cousin.
Me.
No, I saw Spice World because Meatloaf was
in it. Meatloaf was in
Spice
World?
Meatloaf was in Spice World?
Yeah, wow. He's a bus driver.
I didn't know that.
That's the only thing I remember. Bus driver.
Okay, Meatloaf, well then, Meatloaf is in Joel Murphy's favorite movie of all time.
Oh, yeah?
Did you know that?
No, what's your favorite movie?
Fight Club?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Bitch Tits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, but also,
Bob,
is that the one that you're
Robert Paulson? There.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, I got my balls busted because I shared some thoughts with Joel and Andy about
Fight Club. Uh-oh.
Here's the thing. Do you remember? Because all I said was, look, it had been a long flight, and they had just picked me up from the airport. I don't know why Fight Club came up, but I was just like, hey, so I was just thinking about Fight Club, and I thought, like, why are these guys just going around, like, wrecking shit? Like, what do you do? I don't know what you, like, you're going to get hurt. What are you even doing? Just going around doing random shit that, like, hurts people. That sucks. And then I realized that was the whole point of the fucking movie. And it says it right on the cover of the movie. It says mayhem on the cover of the movie.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And then they made me feel like a dickhead for, like, 12 miles.
So well, it also, Lars had an unfortunate disadvantage, which was often, and you may have heard our spinoff podcast, Waiting for Lars, but this one wasn't his fault because Andy and Lars both flew into LAX, they flew into LA on the same day, and I offered to pick them both up, but Andy flew into Burbank, and Lars flew into LAX at pretty much the same time, so I picked up Andy first, and then had to drive.
Because
to
you
LAX.
Like him better. I understand.
Wait, just to be clear, this conversation about the movie Fight Club happened like
recently.
2 weeks ago?
Recently.
Like 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Lars, how do you feel about the fact that he picked up Andy first?
Oh, I think it's very practical.
Really?
It was close to his home.
Okay. Okay. It's way closer.
As long as
that was
okay
the whole thing
it.
Is yeah, no, Burbank is like that airport is 10 to 15 minutes from my house.
I mean,
yeah,
I got to go to the Planet Hollywood. I got to stare at everyone's dog because that airport is littered with people taking dogs on airplanes.
Well, that was the other part of the logic is Burbank is a tiny airport. So like there's nothing to do. You can kill an hour at LAX. You really can't at the Burbank airport. But
okay.
So what happened is we picked up Andy, but then that gave us an hour in the car with Andy. And then Lars had to come into a situation where we had already been like riffing and making jokes.
After flying all the way to LAX.
Oh, you were already warmed up. I see.
And
I was sleep deprived.
Cool. But if I can go back for a minute to Chris, because now can we talk about the movie Leap of Faith, which is also a brilliant Meatloaf?
No. No, we cannot. I'm sorry.
Why not?
We're gonna start. Look, this is a new regime. There's a new regime here at the 500th episode. We're gonna start telling each other no. We think we need to say no more. We need to draw boundaries. So I'm going to say no on this one, and instead we're going to talk about something else. We're going to talk about weird Steve Martin movies that very few people have seen. Do you have anything in mind?
I mean, I said Leap of Faith.
Oh, okay. You're... Let's talk about Leap of Faith. That was my call.
Oh,
I
thank
asked.
You.
I got an answer.
I remember it being good, but I got to be honest with you. I haven't seen it in so long that I don't really remember it too much.
Is that the one where that it's Christmas time and he's like trying to help people with suicide?
No, it's the one like where Steve Martin is like an evangelist.
Yeah, I know. Hold on, what is that movie? Yeah,
I thought that was that one.
Did you say he's trying to help people with suicide? I didn't really.
Yeah, he's trying to talk people out of committing suicide. He's on like a helpline or something. There's like a transvestite in it, and there's a Christmas tree. It's
and there's
good.
A Christmas tree.
Yeah,
it's that Christmas movie with a Christmas tree.
But it happens in California.
L.A. Story.
No, Juliette Lewis is in it. There's a bunch of other people.
Old school.
Nope. I think it's like
I just went off with Juliette Lewis. It doesn't really fit the rest.
Bad people or something like that. But anyway. Mm.
Sorry, when you think Juliette Lewis, you think of the movie Old School?
Yeah, that's her best work.
Best work. Not Strange Days or...
I'm sorry. You know what? No, I take it back. Juliette Lewis from the new HBO show Camping.
Yeah, that's a good one. Did you watch it?
I haven't watched it yet. But you know what I did start watching? Because of you, Lars.
Yep.
I started watching The Great British Bake Off.
So, did you finish it?
It's really good.
Did you finish
it?
It's
so good. It's very enjoyable.
No.
Is
no,
it
but I
a baking show?
Oh yes. Oh yes.
I thought it was like some comedy drama. It's no, an actual baking show? I'll watch it.
Well, let's just so like
it's really good.
Let's track this. So Joel,
okay.
So we don't spoil mm-hmm. anything for you. What's up? What's happening right now?
You haven't gotten to Noel Fielding episodes yet, right? He's like only the last two seasons.
No, I'm on the season that I'm watching has someone who looks exactly like Aaron Fox hosting it. Mm-hmm. Is Sue.
Mel and Sue, yeah.
Mel and Sue, they're hosting it. And no, this is from like 4 years ago because I figured that much out.
Yeah.
But I got very heated about something and then I posted about it on Facebook and it was very validating that apparently people are still mad about this.
Oh, yeah.
Four years later. But
the ice cream.
It was Ian. Ian's ice cream got taken out of the freezer.
I thought it was custard.
That was a different instance.
Well, they were making baked Alaska. And this one, and the ice cream got taken out and left out, and then he got very angry and very British, so it was very internalized anger. So what he did was sabotaged himself and threw away all of his ingredients and stormed off, and then got eliminated because of it.
Because he didn't cook the thing.
He didn't produce a thing.
Yeah.
He didn't give them anything, and they even said, they were like, even with the melted ice cream, if you like gave us this to try, we would have tried it, but you gave us nothing, so we have to send you home.
So you so get that's what nothing.
Happened. But I'm on that season.
Nothing. That was national news because you know I watch all the British panel shows. National news. Did you see what this motherfucker did on the Bake Off?
And it's I felt very validated because I have like no context. But I had no context.
British.
But
yeah, but they
but
use
like
the
I was very happy. I was very happy that I got super angry and then like found out that everyone was angry. Like it made me feel better. And the fact that those wounds haven't healed 4 years later.
Right.
That people. Yeah. But here, since we're on this subject, though, can we take a moment? Lars, you would probably be the best person to ask this, but what's the most ridiculous British pronunciation on that show? Like, because there's a lot of them, of just words that we have that, you know, I mean, this is not the word. It's just as an example, they say basil instead of basil.
Basil, yeah. No, yeah. You know what? For me, it isn't pronunciations. It's like...
So not mascarpone, because that one got me.
Not mascarpone, not aluminium. It's like
or not the weird words where it's like that's a food that we have. We call it something different,
right?
Like aubergine and eggplant,
or chips.
Yeah, or rocket.
Mm-hmm.
Rocket is what they call arugula.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where the fuck do you get rocket?
Okay, well, so if you're just broadening it out, though, is it the fact that everything is pudding, and I don't understand what pudding is?
No, that's the thing that drives me crazy on that show, because they say, okay, now what, what's for the pudding? And I'm like, well, that's not fucking pudding! But there's no, they don't nail down what exactly fucking pudding is. When I say they, I mean the British people. They're leaving it a mystery to the rest of the world. Well, they know what pudding is. They'll point at it and say, that's pudding. And we'll say,
that's not pudding. And we're like, but I could swear.
Because said that was pudding last time.
Well, because you can have something like a blood sausage, which they call black pudding.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
It's a sausage.
Yep.
Black pudding.
Well, uh-huh. And then they make something.
A bread pudding. Which they can call, you know, currant pudding or something pudding.
But, and then they make something that you're like, oh, they're making pudding. And then they call it a custard.
Right.
And you're,
and
like,
you're
shit.
Like, what the?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what it is. Because here's the thing about the United Kingdom is it's such a small island, but it's divvied up so with accents so fiercely mm-hmm. that they all are making fun of each other. Like you can drive
the East End and the West End of London alone.
You can drive from Manchester to Newcastle in about an hour and a half probably. But the Manchester accent and the Geordie accent are so different and they will mock each other tirelessly for this accent. That sounds relatively the same to us, but they have a little bit of different pronunciation. Mm-hmm. So the pronunciations don't really bother me.
So it's like Dundalk and Canadian Baltimore. Stuff.
I genuinely feel like you're making a case for me right now.
Just like your existence?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
And everyone
know.
Making fun of the way that I talk and say things.
Mm-hmm. Well...
Did you even realize that? Now you're backtracking.
Jesus. No, I'm not backtracking. I was about to double down if you give me that. Because, I don't know, I wish... if someone is listening to this show and they don't listen to the Curiosos podcast, then thanks, but come on.
But also, they're not making... Whoa. They're not making new shows, so keep listening to this. It might be garbage, but there's a lot of it.
It's a deep
catalog.
There's
500 of them.
It's on the Peep Sloth Network.
What do you want? But you want like 100 good shows of something,
you
or you want 500 mediocre shows?
No, but I love it when I get to privately make fun of your pronunciations and also to your face, and also that Joe does it on the show. Also, you and Joe grew up not far from one another, but he can say the fucking words, right?
I'm not from here.
Wow.
So that's why.
Okay, I am.
You're from Southern Maryland.
I am from Southern Maryland. Yeah. It would take me about 70 minutes to get from my house I grew up in to your area.
That's 70 minutes of accent right there.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you're talking about your English.
Fair enough. Yeah. I've lived here for 12 years. I've never heard anyone but you pronounce the name of the vegetable ungan.
I don't, that's not regional. I don't know what that is.
That's called a defect, I believe.
I mean, we can say Downy Ocean. We can say Natty Bo. Warsh is fine. I never heard ungan.
Oh, no. Warsh is not fine. I'm having flashbacks to my 7th grade history class where I had to learn about George Washington.
But
I could get us back onto the important subject, though. Mm-hmm. On this show, The Great British Bake Off, they had a challenge where they made eclairs. And so I was like, oh, okay, cool, eclairs. Someone made a fucking savory eclair. What is that?
Disgusting.
It had meat and onions in it.
Savory pastries with chocolate on top.
It's like they'll put fruit and chocolate on with meat in a pastry.
It's like a mincemeat pie kind of thing, but
kind
in a clair dough.
Molly in the background just said that's what Rachel made on Friends. That was
I want to give a quick shout out to Alice Goldfuss on Twitter, who, like, I feel like The Great British Bake Off is back in the zeitgeist. Like, you're rewatching it, talking about it, and Alice Goldfuss is coming down on them for their American style pies. Because there's often a challenge where it's like, we're going to make an American pie. And
there are
usually things like, yeah, we're going
to
dump like chocolate and raspberries in a tart pan and call this a pie. And I find it fascinating because I don't have like a lot of pride in American baking.
Yeah. Well,
now I feel like I should.
Okay, but here's the thing is that the term American is apple pie is false. We get apple pie from France.
Sure.
That's where the recipes...
We get most culinary
from other parts of the world.
From France.
We're a melting pot.
Yeah, I know, but you can't really say it's...
Yeah, they're freedom pies now.
Sure, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
But what would be...
Deep cut in American history, kids.
Oh, I wish it was, team. I hope it is. I hope someone's like, I don't get that reference. Thank you.
No, we
true.
Have a very young audience, Marty. Oh, they don't know what that was.
I would like to also bring up one more thing from The Great British Bake Off, which is, like, not only are there it's very complicated to understand what the hell they're doing at any given time. Not only because, like the words are different, the metric system, it's fine. But when they started talking about baking temperatures, I would always swear I misheard them because they would say something like, and then they let it sit for 20 minutes at 180 fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what? Is it Fahrenheit? No, because nothing bakes at 180 Fahrenheit. It would be like Celsius. 350, and so you think about it. So it's like it's Celsius, but they didn't say Celsius. What is that? Fan?
Kilometers?
Am I mishearing that?
Is it kilometers?
The fan. They have ovens with fans, and the fan is on. That's what it means. It's at 180 Celsius with
like
a fan
salamander.
On.
I thought it was like 180 stone.
And I, exactly, which is very heavy.
That would be
there's a lot of back
heavy.
Injuries on the show.
What is it? Is it 14?
For like stone? What?
I think it's 14 pounds.
Oh, I think it's 20.
Is it stone or something?
20?
Yeah, I thought
so. It's not 20.
It's not a round number.
I think
it's never
14.
A round number.
Yeah. But they have to make it as complicated as possible.
But I think the thing that finally like really gave me a disconnect with that show was when I realized that all of their ovens have fancy-ass fans inside.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I'll never be able to do this because I will never be fancy enough to own an oven with a fan.
This.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or with the goddamn cookie sheet fan in it. Yep. But it's overbaked and it's underworked.
It's a bad bake.
I'm not sure about the
flavor. Do you know how often they talk about soggy bottoms on that show? So many soggy bottoms.
And they know. They know that.
Yeah.
The saucy.
Are they all Ringo Starr impersonators? You guys make it sound like it's...
No, the one guy on it has... Paul Hollywood has a very northern accent.
Okay.
He's from Cheshire.
Okay.
So it's all very northern.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, he's all...
Can I ask a Paul Hollywood question real quick? Mm-hmm. Are goatees still cool in England? Is that still... Yeah, okay.
No, he is
Neither are frosted tips or whatever he has.
Yeah, who
the Guy Fieri.
He's Guy Fieri. Okay. That's exactly who he is. He's Guy Fieri, except people trust what he says about food.
I do want to add, you may not know this exists, or you may see it and just skip past it, but definitely watch the Great British Baking Show Masterclass episodes. It's a separate show that was made, between filming, and it has Paula Hollywood and Mary Berry making their signature dishes from the show and shooting the shit, being very it is. If the Great British Baking Show is a safe place to watch people cook things and be nice to each other, this is even more where it's now we're not even questioning your skills. We're all just learning about one another. And then they have this fucking Christmas episode where Paula Hollywood comes in, and the first sound other than some B-roll of Christmas trees and footage, he just pops into the fucking room and goes, "Christmas again then, Mary?"
Oh, God. So this is the Star Wars Christmas
special? They're off. It is amazing and wonderful. And, they just cook in one of their homes now instead of in the tent. But, man.
It was a tent?
Yeah, in the Great British Baking Show.
Yeah, it's a tent.
Oh, well, my God, you don't know what you're missing.
Yeah. But this show, I will say, like I said, total credit to Lars for pushing me to recommit. Because you just sort of casually were you're as into the Great British Baking Show as me, on a recent show that we did. And I was I've seen it sporadically. And then after that, I was I kind of had that moment where I was why aren't I?
Yeah, seriously, because I know you guys
this
love...
This is all the things I like.
You love cooking shows, and you're not watching the best one.
Well, before it was availability, but now they're all on Netflix, so I was I really have no excuse.
And now we all know what Stroop waffles are.
Oh, delicious.
Did anybody know what a Stroop waffle was before that?
Mm-hmm. I did, but I did. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
But can I ask you?
I could make one.
Right.
Oh, yeah, me too. Me too. I knew where they were. I can make one too. Anyways.
But this is a classy show. I really love it. It's very soothing. And if I could ask you guys a serious question about it, which is, do you think that Mary Berry and Paul Hollywood have ever fucked?
Let me just throw this out there, because I definitely know I don't think so.
Late night,
exist.
Late night, like pocket
sausage. Think of filming.
They did
a lot of time to kill.
They tried to do an American version. They only did one season of it or something like that, where Paul Hollywood came over and they had American Bakers, and he got in trouble for cheating on his wife with the host of the American version.
Okay,
wow.
Stop ruining this. Joe, it seems like you're not familiar with the show.
No, I'm not.
Let me break it down for you. Paul Hollywood looks like Guy Fieri, except he's much more pleasant and has stark blue eyes.
Okay.
He's like Guy Fieri if he aged gracefully for Guy Fieri. You know, not gracefully for a normal, but he's got gray hair and stuff, but it's still spiky and he has a goatee.
He's tan, he's got a goatee.
And he's English.
Mary Berry is a very...
Not Marion Berry.
No. Okay. Mary Berry is a petite, elderly woman.
What's her name? We're going to make some eggs.
Not like Julia Child.
That's it, Julia Child.
No, she is petite, and she's quite old.
Okay.
But she carries herself like a stateswoman.
Sure.
And she's revered.
She is a lady. She has a title somewhere. Yeah.
And she's so small. She's so small. And so wrinkly, and so gray.
So you're asking, Joel, if there was some old In-N-Out, In-N-Out with...
Listen, here's what happens, Joe, to further break it down. There's in every episode, in every episode, and there's a middle challenge where one of the two of them gives a very difficult recipe and is like, you guys make this and then we're going to go off together, not what, because we're going to taste it blind. So they, I'm just figuring they have a lot of time to kill together.
Yeah.
While the bakers are doing that, it, just the two of them. You know, they start talking about baking.
So anyone
technique.
Has any time to kill.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's not going to be Angry Birds. Not going to make a phone call or
what
something.
What I'm hearing, Joel, is that this is your new fan fiction.
Yeah. I'm not denying that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just think, Joel, you're going to... You're going to have to work really hard to justify this, because Mary Berry has lived a long life, and she does not even begin to put up with Paul Hollywood shit on the air.
That is totally true. She doesn't put up with the shit at all.
When he thinks he's clever, she fucking comes down on him, and I think that's because Mary Berry has lived a life.
Stop putting your fucking thing. She comes down on him.
But also, you know what's never happened? It's two people who are like bickering at each other and like you have fiery arguments. They never end up having sex.
This isn't moonlighting.
Do you know how many
British Bake Off?
I'm just saying that sexual tension with a knife.
I'm thinking that was a good one.
Oh, it's a proper crust. Oh, look at it. Oh, I know what that means.
See, I think Mary Berry has been through her share of Paul Hollywoods. In her lifetime, she's seen Paul Hollywood's come and go,
and come again.
And she is baked for all of them,
and she doesn't have the patience for it. Paul Hollywood doesn't hold a candle.
Yeah, they're not scrummy anymore.
All right, okay. You guys set it up.
I thought of some really fucked up shit, man. But Paul Hollywood and Mary Berry.
Now you haven't gotten to the Noel Fielding episodes, but can I ask him? I could see Noel getting in on that.
I could see Noel Fielding fucking just about anyone.
I was going to say that exact sentence, by the way. We've done this show for too long together. Because, Noel Fielding, there's sexual tension with him and everyone at all times.
That's true.
But also, can I ask, because I'm not to that season yet, was Julian Barrett not available? Was that phone just sitting there not ringing to co-host with Noel Fielding?
I don't know who that is.
He's the other half of the Mighty Boosh.
Oh, I see.
He was too busy making the movie that was on Netflix, Mindhorn or whatever it was, I guess.
I suppose. Richard Ayoade also busy not being the doctor.
Because I thought that was weird because the current, like the ones, current, the very much not current, but it's a comedy duo that hosts it. But then they just got Noel Fielding with Who Does It With Noel Fielding, just...
Oh,
like,
it's I forgot her name. She was on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah. She's a really funny lady. It's fine. It's good.
It is good. They have a good
rapport.
Mm-hmm. Rapport, whatever it is.
It's called chemistry. Mm-hmm. He has it with everyone.
That's true. Joe, have you watched The Mighty Boosh?
Not since.
But you've seen it. You know who it is.
Like 10 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. But Joel. Noel Fielding is the goth one.
Right.
Okay. Right. Cool. Gotcha. Just cluing you in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's the Christopher Scarborough of that duo. You know?
I know exactly what you mean now.
I knew you would.
Yeah. He shows up and does whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy keeps it together.
You know, we got a little bit of time here left. Can I just throw out to the room? What the fuck is this Kurt Russell Christmas movie that's on Netflix?
I don't know. I am so curious because he looks fantastic in that red and white suit.
I've got an idea that it is, for some reason, because back when Russell was a little tiny baby child, most of his work came from Disney. Mm-hmm. Disney movies.
Didn't we? Wait, hold on. Sorry,
real quick.
Didn't this come up? I was going to say that came up on this show that was Walt Disney. They found a note on his desk about Kurt Russell.
Yeah, the last note he wrote. Not like while he was dying.
On his deathbed. But it was like
one of the last notes he wrote.
Rosebud.
It was like Kurt Russell. Like this is the kid.
And now we know Kurt what Russell was inside that paper. Note.
Right.
The death has come calling.
Well, I think because of that.
Once they defrost my head,
right?
We'll eat Kurt Russell.
I mean, he took a departure, did a bunch of movies and stuff, but I think he still is slightly owned by Disney.
Ooh.
I think this is going to be the best Snake Plissken movie ever.
Oh,
That isn't that isn't a Disney movie. It's on Netflix. It's specifically on Netflix.
It's a Disney movie.
It's a Disney movie on Netflix?
There's Disney shit on Netflix.
Yeah, all the Marvel, all the Marvel stuff is getting pulled because it's Disney on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah. Disney currently, they still have a deal with Netflix for a ton of stuff.
Until
but I think it's over this year or
this
2020?
Year, yeah, because they're coming out with their own streaming service, and they're like, no more Disney for anyone ever unless you pay for...
Yeah, and we knew that was coming. We talked about it, and I mean, we can... I could spend... We're not going to do it this show. But I could spend a whole episode talking about how pissed off I am that you canceled Daredevil after its best season.
Reason for it. Daredevil was great. I love that season. I'm sad about it. But I am more... If I don't fucking see Wilson Fisk show up in something, I don't even... Like, you
Spider-Man
want me to pay for your...
Something, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, just... Here's the thing. Break it down for me, because I don't quite understand. Because this part of the cinematic universe that's been existing on Netflix isn't actually 100% owned by Disney, is it? Isn't Sony part of that? Because they can't say all the names of people that
I
are
don't,
in the universe.
I thought this was I thought it was Disney because they're not mutants. So Sony only has the rights to like the. Well, no. With Sony, only has
Fox.
Spider-Man.
Fox
I'll
has...
go check the contracts and get back to you.
Okay,
I'm not.
If you could pull the file,
Sony,
for me, I'd really.
That would be a great Curioso episode, actually. Yeah. To just be like Marvel.
Jesus.
Well, good luck.
Yeah, because Fox. No, because I'm pretty sure Sony owns Spider-Man and any characters related to Spider-Man. But I think Wilson Fisk is one of those characters like Quicksilver that because he's both Spider-Man and Daredevil, like that they could probably both use.
The Punishers fought him. I mean, just
Yeah. Any, same with what's the newest guy they just teased in the last season of Daredevil? Bullseye.
Yeah.
So he's one of the same characters. He fought different people in Marvel and stuff too.
As we talked about too on a previous episode, the fact that everyone in that season 3 has to just go around pretending like it's not hilarious that a guy's name is Poindexter, and they're just we're not going to talk about this. We're all adults. Like,
hey,
no one will ever.
I got a question for you, real quick. Mm. If they were going to do like in the cinematic universe or on a TV show or whatever they were going to do, who would play Taskmaster? Taskmaster is
who would play Taskmaster?
Yeah.
I don't. Me?
I don't know. I'm throwing it out there. I like Taskmaster. He's one of my favorites, but I'm really bad at pulling out people.
Tell me about Taskmaster.
He's he carries a shield, has a sword, has a skull mask, kind of looks a little bit like Moon Knight.
A Taskmaster.
Right?
Exactly what you think of when you hear the word Taskmaster.
I saw a man in a tweed suit and a writing crop.
So, but what he does is he watches people fight, and he can memorize, he has muscle memory, and he can...
That's right.
He can do
they
whatever
did
fighting.
Something like that. Didn't they? Did they not...
He trained like a lot of in the comic books. He trained a lot of Hydra soldiers and stuff like that.
I just read something that he was in. Yeah. Taskmaster. Who would play him?
Arnold.
Yeah, just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I'm the Taskmaster. Come on,
let's see.
Come at me.
I have muscle memory.
I know
Ron
all your
Perlman.
Moves.
You guys are just spot on with that one.
I'm going Ron Perlman. Because
Ron
I'm looking
Perlman.
At
him. No, I'm sick of Ron Perlman. Mahershala Ali. He already died in the universe, but we can bring him back.
Christopher Walken, I would say.
Well, whoever's playing this, it's just like, because it's just a guy with a skull. Like, he kind of looks like Red Skull, but like he's just a white skull face.
Well,
and a hood.
Yeah, but the skull is a mask, so.
It's a mask. Sorry.
But I'm saying
Red Skull is not
memory.
A mask. Red Skull is not a mask. Black Mask was a mask. Red Skull was turned inside out.
I thought Black Mask was just Robin.
No, Jesus Christ.
No. Taskmaster.
That's Red Hood. It's Red Hood, and you know it, and you're trolling us.
Red Hood.
And I will not stand for it.
I'm so lost right now. I was afraid to ask about Wilton Fisk, because I'm like, is he an accountant?
Wilson!
See?
Wilson!
Is he an accountant?
No!
He sounds like he's from Fisk, and Donovan.
No.
Like
he's you're not
Kingpin.
Too far off.
Yeah. You know the
he's,
Kingpin? The big fat guy with a white suit?
All right.
Bald head?
I guess. Mm. Why not call him the Kingpin?
They call him the Kingpin, but he has a name.
Yeah.
Like, his parents didn't name him the Kingpin.
Just like how Spider-Man is Peter Parker.
And I okay. Yeah.
Spider-Man is Miles Morales.
But we don't ask who's going to play Peter Parker. We ask who's going to play Spider-Man.
No, we don't.
And that's the goddamn mistake.
That's the problem.
Because they cast the hero and not the person.
Right.
Yeah.
When you start casting the person, then you get good casting. Mm-hmm. If you're casting Iron Man, well, who the fuck cares? He's in a goddamn suit. You cast Tony Stark, you get Robert Downey Jr.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're right. I'm sorry. On behalf of
500 episodes.
I can't wait for that Curioso episode, by the way. See if you can untangle the Marvel universe.
Well, plus it's so complicated now because with the Disney acquiring Fox, like, I don't know how that works.
Oh,
like,
Yeah,
that's, what is that, the funny one that you guys like? That character, most of the X-Men.
Deadpool.
Deadpool.
Yeah. That's,
it's like talking to my grandmother.
I don't.
The funny one you like.
I watched.
He's the Canadian one.
The Canadian one.
You know that one.
He's always breaking the fourth wall.
He's so handsome.
Yeah. Anyway,
he says the naughty words. I like it.
I watched part of the first one and was like, I was done. I didn't even finish the whole
thing. I could do with fewer of the pee-pee jokes.
So many pee-pee jokes in that.
I just heard too from Tommy Simbazo. I was hanging out with him last night, and he was
humble
saying
rag.
That
he's been on
rest
this
in peace,
show.
Harris, what is.
He was saying I just wanted to give credit where credit is due. Okay,
tell your story.
So,
holy hell,
he was saying that they're actually re-releasing Deadpool as like
as a PG-13 movie.
Yeah. And they're doing it in the style as if it was
the Princess Bride.
The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
So Adam's I could actually take it. My kid to go see it.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I mean, it'll still be very violent, just not so not so many tits.
Are there
going to
be
and
some, like, RUSs?
Rodents of unusual sizes?
Mm-hmm. I think he, it's very meta. He captures Fred, he kidnaps Fred Savage, and he tells him the
he's
story.
He's still alive, that's right.
Yeah, he tells him the story of
he's
the
our
Deadpool
age.
Movie.
He also he's been constantly working directing It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I know,
he's a prolific TV director.
Right.
I have to say that preview sold me on it when he had kidnapped Fred Savage.
I haven't seen
it. It was a good bit. It's a good trailer.
He was telling me about it. Yeah. I definitely want to. I can go.
It's
take
one
my
of those nice,
that.
Like, uncanny things where it hits you right in the childhood. You're like, "Well, that's a familiar shot." Wait, what? Yeah. Oh, dead. God damn.
I just enjoy that Chris had to name drop Tommy Simbazo because he doesn't know how YouTube works. That was the best part of that
I
story.
I didn't know that it even existed.
Yeah, Tommy told me about this thing. You know Tommy Simbazo?
You know,
the one with the famous comedian.
Your friend with the dragon on his shoulder. Tell me about the Deadpool, the one in the red suit.
Have you heard of these gas prices? Tommy Simbazo was telling me about them.
That just felt mean.
I don't know, man. I don't know how much time we have left, but did you, like, I don't know, it's the 500th episode. Everyone's here. Is that,
we're
like,
going for 500 minutes.
I don't know. I don't know. Do we take a walk down memory lane? Did you want to get nostalgic? Or are we just doing a show to, like, what's happening? Is this the last show?
I feel like you just constantly say that in your entire life.
What's happening?
What's happening?
Oh, no. Yeah, 90% of the time, I have no fucking clue what the hell is going on.
That's most of us.
Yeah.
This is it. This is the last show, then we're going to put them all in a rocket, and we're going to shoot it into the sun.
Oh, you mean a
vision?
Yeah.
Shit.
Damn, y'all were both ready with that.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. It's that timing. That's why the Curioso is good. They were both on top of that. I don't know. Is there something you wanted to do? Should we do something? I don't know.
Oh, I'm going to make a proposal. Yeah. What is the segment on the show that you've done over the years that you would like to do one last time?
Oh,
just,
you know what you
should
do?
And just put the segment to bed forever.
We're not ending that. I just want to be clear. We're not going to stop.
No. don't end the show. You're just in the interest of reinvesting and like reinventing. Maybe this is the last Mad Lib.
Mm-hmm. No,
forever.
Oh, we're not doing
that.
That's
the best part.
That's our crutch. We can't take that away.
I don't know.
You'll never heal if libs. You keep using the crutch.
We've said over and over that this is the last contractually obligated Batman discussion, but then we keep talking about Batman for too long. So
yeah,
that's no good. The person you should know comes back every once in a while.
Those are nice.
All this stuff. I really liked like the Netflix game and the Spot the Peter. But you know,
those are quite good.
What is Spot the Peter?
I love the fact that you guys are talking about doing one of these, and I'm pretty sure neither of you have prepared.
We prepared for
Jeff.
That's what I'm saying.
Spot the Peter and the Netflix game require.
What the fuck is Spot the Peter?
We did that at our live show.
Did we?
It's I don't remember the guy's name. The film critic. He pulls Peter. Quotes from.
Oh, Peter Travers. Yeah. That's right.
In order for that to work, you have to write fake ones.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah.
Like, have
that.
You done that? That involves a lot of work.
All right. Well, this is working fine. Just do all of. Just go through all the bits.
Here's
a new
one. That's called Name the Bit. Yeah. Just name every bit.
Name all the bits you guys done.
And if you hit them all, then you can keep doing the show.
Well, how about that? I'll throw that out to the room. For our 501st episode, is there one of those things that you guys would like to see come back that requires work? Like, is that...
requires work.
No, I'm saying, like, do you want me to come back next week with one of these?
I think you should do that one. Do that one as all bits. So, just fill it with nothing but that.
You know, I kind of like that idea. And I know that requires me to do prep, which I hate. But
we'll
I will
501,
do
all of the. So we're saying we'll do a person you should know. We'll do the Netflix.
Yeah, we'll
game,
split it. We don't have to work it out right now. But let's lay all our bits down and then we'll split them up and we will each prepare for half of our segments and we will do all the segments.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
So that'll give incentive for everyone to listen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tune in for oops, all segments.
Well, since we're bringing back, since we're being nostalgic and we're bringing stuff back, should we bring back my world class impressions? Is that oops, like you know, impression corner?
Oh yeah, sure.
Like Chris's impressions.
Here we go.
Like
can I hear your Ronald Reagan, please?
Jelly beans.
Nah,
we just get to ask him for anything.
I'm only a little disappointed. That was a solid Reagan, but usually when you ask him for a presidential impression, he just does Obama.
But I don't know anyone else. If everyone in the room wants one, I'm ready. I'm like right, my instrument is warmed up now.
This is kind of pertinent because I just recently played this character on another podcast.
Was it with Tommy Simbazo?
Oh,
I only know that because I know you did that show.
Yeah,
you dropped something there.
So it's Tommy Simbazo. He's hurt.
His mustache broke.
Oh, tragedy.
So I would like to hear a Tom Carvel impersonation.
Here's a Cookie Puss.
Fairly Tom accurate. Carvel, right?
Yeah. Thank you.
Is Tom Carvel the inventor of the Carvel ice cream cake?
He is.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And you played him on an RPG show in space.
No kidding.
I'm excited.
That's pretty great. That's actually really great.
I thought that was actually, I thought it was Jonathan Cookie Puss that invented the Carvel ice cream cake. My bad.
No.
Slightly off.
No, took the name. The family took the name at Ellis Island because the person doing
you
the
name. See, that was a flaw in our immigration system.
Yeah.
Glad we fixed it. I have another request.
Oh, okay. It could have been Cookie Opus. he comes around during St. Patrick's Day.
He throws up on your birthday cake. Dickensian street urchin. You got that one in you?
Okay. All right. We talked about the Great British Bake Off, so I can hear it now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Governor.
Perfect. Modern British person from London.
Okay. Hello, Governor.
Nailed it.
Henry VIII.
Hello, wife.
Close.
I feel like you nailed it.
Thank you. Marty, do you have one?
Yeah. This one is one of my favorites. Let's hear Anyone from The Wire. That's my favorite. Is whoever you want to use Tim from The Wire.
That's good. I know how this one goes. He's preparing. Yeah. You got to get in character. Here we go. He's going. He's in a fugue state right now.
Mm-hmm. I got that pandemic.
There it is.
Nailed it. All right.
Nice.
Now, look, this might be asking.
I feel the drama.
Yeah. But I feel like maybe, could I get one more?
Sure.
All right. Anyone from the movie Crazy Rich Asians?
Hello. I am a character in this movie.
That's spot on.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. That's how all they work. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
How it went.
Avoided that minefield, but save that for your Tommy Simbazo podcast. I'm not walking into that.
We got to raise the stakes. Really, we got to put Joel's reputation on the line,
right?
Let's see. Do you have Vince McMahon if he has to tell someone they don't work at his organization anymore?
Mm. Okay. All right. Well, I'm gonna need help for this one. Mm-hmm. Does someone want to be, I don't know, like a WWE wrestler, and then I could respond because it's more of like a response, you know?
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
That'd be you.
That's me.
That's you.
Yeah.
Which WWE wrestler should I be?
I'll leave it up to you.
Be your own.
Yeah. Be your own.
Yeah.
Be a Dickensian street urchin.
Periwinkle brother. Well, I'm sorry I'm late, brother, but someone towed my car.
Oh, what's your character? I'm sorry, I need your character's name. This is important for the scene.
I thought it was obvious from the goddamn impression.
I'm not sure. Oh, it was Bonesaw McGraw.
It was probably Bonesaw McGraw.
Okay.
You want me to do it again?
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs the line.
Great.
Sorry I'm late. I went to walk the dog, but he took a long time to take a poop. You know what I mean, brother?
You're fired.
Thank you.
That was a great Benedict Cumberbatch as Smaug the Dragon.
Yeah, definitely. I was feeling that.
Okay.
As Smaug the Dragon.
I was waiting for Gollum to come out.
All right, last one. I heard Bane from The Dark Knight Rises, so yeah, okay.
I didn't hear that. Did he? Is something wrong with my...
I think I said that.
Yeah, no, I heard it. It's pretty clear.
Okay, my bad.
Okay.
Pretty clear.
This could be a haunted internet connection. You never know.
Right, you said Bane from The Dark Knight Rises, not Bane from the comic books. Right.
He sounds different in the comic books. He's actually from Latin America in those.
Or the animated series.
Actually, he did sound totally different.
Bane!
He did say words. It wasn't just grunty growls.
Oh, man. It was a dark time for Bane. All right.
Take control of your city.
We didn't ask for Abraham Lincoln. We did not ask for Daniel Day-Lewis's Abraham Lincoln. We want to hear Bane from The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. If history judges me harshly, I hope they'll take these times into consideration. Is that the right one?
Yeah. Also, that was amazing. Also, way to just pull that line from Lincoln. Holy hell.
That's all I remember is that and that like really heavy-handed opening. That's all.
Oh, the opening was heavy-handed.
Yeah.
And then the following 2.5 hours.
All right. Well, that was Impression Corner. Glad we brought that back out of everything that we've done on this show.
It's the one bit that didn't require prep.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. I don't want to give any new listeners this impression that we don't do meticulous prep normally. This is just for the 500th episode. It's kind of freewheeling. But I don't know. Did you seemed hell-bent on nostalgia, Lars. Was there something?
No, I wasn't hell-bent on anything. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Oh, okay.
It's hard, you know, when you hit a milestone like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what do you do? How do you even celebrate? Yeah. I'm so glad you guys are here to celebrate with us, but I don't want the fuck.
What is this, a paper anniversary, silver anniversary?
I know. I feel like this should be a clip episode.
Like a bottle episode? Yeah. Well,
it's definitely bottle episodes.
I was thinking that too. Every podcast is a bottle episode. I don't know how it wouldn't be.
Too much outside of this room. Any dreams for the future? Where does our show go? What can our listeners expect in the future?
Yeah, you don't want to sit back in your laurels now that you hit 500.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, so do we think we're going to make it to 1,000? Let's start there. Do we think we got another 500 in
first,
us?
First up.
How many years did it take you to get to 500?
10.
One?
10?
Two?
10. 10. 10 and some change.
So 10 more years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, 10 more years.
Like any of us has that long.
Right.
Yeah. 10 more years. So climate scientists have already said this will be the point of no return. That will
damn
be it.
Climate.
But yeah, I don't know.
I'm looking forward to that, actually. When Hobo Radio starts becoming an environmental, just almost terrorism podcast.
There you go, yeah.
You start podcasting live from deep inside the bowels of BP, where you're about to blow up their offices.
Look, if
Hobo Anonymous.
If we recorded our private conversations, it wouldn't be far off from that show, honestly. Oh, no. Speaking of which, we lost
Uh-oh.
Joel.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. See.
That's awkward. The internet.
Anyway, you guys, since he's not here anymore, insufferable bore. Am I right? I mean, 500 fucking shows. I've been. Oh, he's back.
He's back, and you're right. Great guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was gushing.
Oh,
he's not. I was gushing over this fucking douche. I have to listen to his shit. And it's always, well, you didn't prepare anything? Yeah, I prepared some stuff. And then he talked. You know what he prepared? He read some headlines and wrote them down. And we're going to talk about it for a second. Oh, fucking Stan Lee died. Okay, everybody knows that. And we're going. Did we lose him? Oh, thank God.
I think
that.
We're here,
Jesus,
and he's not.
Christ.
Now, here we go. Coming back.
I don't know how I'm going to do this for five.
There it is.
All I heard, I'm looking forward to that. And then it cut out. So I don't know.
Perfect. That's all I said. I was like, I'm looking forward to that. So happy.
So sincere.
Well, then we got.
We've
no, Marty,
been
what were you
here
saying?
In silence the whole time.
No, Marty, no. What were you saying? You were saying you were looking forward to
that
something.
I completely forgot. Oh, okay. Wait, you missed that whole thing? Yeah, I'm looking forward to your future eco-terrorism podcast.
Oh, it'll be a good use of my Bane impression. It was funny though, because when you started saying it, what I really thought, because we were talking about global warming, I thought you were going, I look forward to the death of the planet, is where I thought
you
were going.
Yeah, it's pretty close. And I mean, there's really no other way for an end to all this bullshit. I mean, gosh, so much drama. Drown it all.
I think that's a good note, because we should start wrapping this up, but that's a good place to put this. You know, we've done 500 episodes. Let's really think about the fact that, you know, instead of like the next 500 episodes or where we'll go in the future, let's just think about like 100 years from now, 200 years from now, we'll all be gone. None of this will matter.
Well, you know? Yeah. I'm hoping for some robot parts before that, you know?
Oh, that's true. The singularity, there is the singularity. Oh, and then if the singularity exists, then like these would probably all be available, the back archive.
Yeah,
probably. We don't have time to.
Yeah, think about it another way. If it took you 10 years and you've got another 10 to get to 1,000, think about being cursed with immortality and having to do...
You guys are vampires.
Another 5,000 episodes of this show.
This all the time.
Think about how you don't actually have to listen to the show. You can just quickly download the information from the show, and it feels like you have listened to the show. So you have the memory of listening to the show, but you didn't actually listen to the show.
Yeah.
How excellent would that be?
I'm just picturing someone like, oh, there's a new Hobo Radio. They hit a button. Bloop. Oh, they talked about balls and Batman. Okay.
There it is.
I got it.
I know that now.
Farts and boners and comic books.
I'm literally trying to get to that. I feel like I'm...
That's, farts, boners, and
no,
comic
no,
books?
No, not balls and boners. Just getting it to you. Like, that's why I'm listening to everything at 1.5 times speed.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get to the point where I can just download it and know it.
It's
I'm so much closer to that than the rest of you.
But you lose. You lose.
You're 50% closer.
Yeah, but you lose all of the emotion and tone in the voice.
Yeah, just I'm fine with that.
Like, that's not information.
It reminds me of that Tim Roth show, Lie to Me, where, like, he sees all the micro expressions, and they slow down people's faces so you can see that they made, like, a frowny face when you said murder. And that's how I like to think of listening to podcasts at 1.5 speed. Mm-hmm. Because when you learn to hear that nuance and the emotion, then in real life, you can tell when people are bullshitting you.
If they're talking really fast.
If they're talking regular speed, because all right. of that emotional...
Oh, right. I see what you mean. It's like when you're a sprinter and you train in a pool.
Yes.
All right, so look, much Marty, fine. We had ended the segment, but fine. I'll do an impression of Tim Roth from Lie to Me.
Thank you.
If that's what you really want.
God, this whole time.
Okay.
You can really read okay. people's lines.
I've been fucking shot!
Thank you. Tim Roth lied to me.
From the series finale.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Last line of the episode.
Good. Yeah.
Didn't he also say that in Reservoir Dogs?
Yes.
He did.
Oh.
Joe Taylor to the rescue.
Must be an actor trademark.
Oh, man.
Says this, it in everything.
Joe, can you come back to every show to explain my dumb comedy to everybody?
Oh, my God. Curioso. Hobo Radio? I can't wait.
That's
for
what
that.
We really need. Can you go back to these previous 500 and just, like, annotate them with, like, this was a reference to Spider-Man? Be really okay, helpful,
Joel. This is exactly the kind of curse that I'm talking about, because you could build this wiki and it would be possible for people to do this, and someone would start doing it, and then that would exist in the world. Oh, and you would be compelled to know it.
Links and holes back to each other.
Yeah,
that'd be hilarious.
You know what would be great?
Oh man, what if there was one person that's been doing that this whole time,
and they're just waiting for a place to publish it?
Oh my god.
But I guess that's what's crazy, right, about this format. We don't know. Like, this audio exists, and it exists online, and it could be, this could be being listened to right now, like, 1,000 years from now. Maybe a society is built around this. Like, and they, mm-hmm. like, maybe we're Bill and Ted, you know? Wild yeah, we could be the Wild Stallions.
I bet is being trained on this right now.
Right.
I don't know. To tell you the truth, man, I've often, I don't know if you've thought about this, but I've thought about, we've been doing this for 10 years. You know, 10 mm-hmm. years ago, we were probably making jokes that was funny. I mean, it was humor at the time that wouldn't be so kind nowadays.
I like that as a tagline.
No, did
Hobo Radio. You know. Yeah. 10 years of Hobo Radio. It was humor at the time.
It was humor at the time.
I had that recently. I had a new friend of mine that I met out here in LA who, like, I was talking to about the podcast, and he was like, oh, I'll go check it out. And then he told me that he went back and tried to listen to the first one, and I was like, don't do that. Like, why would you?
What, are you crazy?
And he was like, well, I wanted to start from the beginning. And I was like, no. Don't. But that's...
No.
No, we talk about that a lot. I don't... like... I think it'd be way sadder if we were still doing the same comedy we did 10 years ago. I think that society has changed. Hopefully we've changed. Like, I'm glad I don't find the same stuff funny.
10 years of Hobo Radio.
Yeah, most definitely.
Hopefully
also,
we've changed.
Also, I'm not on the phone anymore. I think for the first
that's way better.
Half, I was on the phone.
Just walking around Baltimore, walking into liquor stores.
I'm on the phone. This is really good sound quality right now.
Lars on the
street. I'd like to apologize to anyone who listened to the show prior to when we bought the equipment that we have now, pretty much.
Joel would straight up call me. I'm at the bar, and he's like, want to do a show? Sure. I'll step outside for an hour. Because I'm 25 years old, so I'll be at the bar for 7 hours.
Man, was there ever a time when you did that and then you called him back later and asked if he wanted to do a show and he forgot about the first show?
Yeah, let's do a show. It's been a while. Yeah.
Oh, God, you know what I just remembered? Remember the drunk show that we did where we drank Four Locos?
Yeah, we drank Four Locos before they were illegal. We drank Four Locos.
Wow, wow.
It was when I was living in Pigtown, and Joel was actually, I think it was the first show we did together
in
person. Yeah.
I believe that's correct.
And we got Four Locos and got wrecked. That was messed up. That was a messed up show.
That can't be. I don't want to ever hear that show.
I have to say, you should be proud. For 500 episodes, and you have one of them that you've labeled the drunk show?
Right.
That's an accomplishment.
That's something that we can't say.
Yeah. No, what should trouble you... No, what should trouble you if you've been listening is that one's labeled the drunk show, which means we were, like, drunk enough that it was notable. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just the casual drinking of all the like, it reached a level.
Well, I guess that was it.
I don't know.
That was the last thing we ever had to say to each other. Holy hell.
You know what I hope? I'm still on this idea, this like Bill and Ted idea. What if like we become AI robots and then it's like that shitty movie AI that Steven Spielberg ruined? Mm-hmm. And like there's just, we get one day, it, like thousands of years from now, where it's just like Lars is recreated for me and I hang out with him for a day and just do a podcast and then that's it. And then I'm a sad robot again. That's what I hope.
Be
for
more
the
like a bicentennial man sort of situation.
Maybe you'll be a real boy someday.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie sucked though, right?
Yeah, AI. It did. I'm just saying the situation.
Yeah, I just really want to get that out there.
Yeah.
That movie AI. That guy Steven Spielberg, he made some good movies, but he's also made some bad movies.
That guy. You guys heard of this guy?
That guy.
Fucking Steven,
that one guy.
Fucking Spielberg.
Yeah, Steven Spielberg.
Yeah. He definitely did. He did ruin Stanley Kubrick's really good movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, did you guys know this? He released a movie this year. Does anyone remember it? It was stupid.
Holy hell.
It wasn't...
No.
Jesus Christ. It wasn't that Jurassic Park movie. No. What the fuck was it? What movie did Steven Spielberg release this year?
It was that one in the... I can't even remember the
name
of it.
Monster Trucks.
You have to be ready with the answer if you ask the goddamn question.
Yeah, I thought you guys would catch it. No, it's the one with the Matrix shit. The dumb Ready
Matrix.
Player One.
Oh, so, right. Ready Player One. Ready Player One.
Yeah, in March. Yeah. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, never saw it.
Me either.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I didn't.
It wasn't good.
It looked like Wreck-It Ralph, but live action with more CGI.
And that was the best they could hope for.
Yeah.
No, yeah, Wreck-It. I would have much preferred to watch Wreck-It Ralph again.
I'm saying the visuals,
if they had just
the
played
story.
That. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, it was real dumb. It didn't make any sense. Also, it had a great thing. The girl had a slight discoloration on her face, so she was hideous.
Yeah. Oh, and she was the villain.
But he could see past her. I love that we can't do callbacks to things that weren't this show.
Oh, no. You can't record things in one night.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we've done too much podcasting.
We've done too much.
All right. Well, we should wrap this up. I don't know. This was 500 episodes. Remember when we did our 100th episode and it was so bad we didn't air it? So
that's right. Yeah.
That's what you should do.
No, straight up. We recorded an entire hour of our 100th episode, and then we got to the end, and we both almost simultaneously said,
"Yeah,
that was bad. We're not releasing that, right?
Doesn't that make this 499?
Yeah.
No, because we recorded.
No, that's the opposite. Okay. That's the opposite. Okay, it's actually 501 if you count the fact that we did an episode that doesn't exist.
But that was honestly just like we had that conversation.
Yeah.
Even for a conversation, it was bad. Jesus.
Yeah, I think like we almost were just like, maybe we should stop being friends. Like maybe this is it. Mm-hmm. We got nothing more to
There's
talk about.
Always that chance. Always that chance.
But I think as usual, we should close with a prayer.
Lord,
won't you buy me
a
Mercedes Benz?
Yeah, thank you. There it is.
These fucking guys are in sync. Holy hell!
Yeah. Oh
yeah,
man.
I mean, I don't know what to say, man. I'm not one for getting misty. But we did 500 shows. You called me. You called me at work one day. I hadn't spoke to you in like 3 years. You said, "Hey, I'm doing a show with this guy. Not doing a show with him anymore." I would like to do a podcast with you. And I said, word, what's a podcast? And then you told me, and I said, I could do that podcast. And then we've been doing it.
Wait. Mm-hmm. When he said, you said, what's a podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This was 10 years ago. Please remember this is 10 years ago. Serial hadn't happened yet. So.
Yeah, this was like in like late 2007.
Right.
Yeah.
So, just curious, since it is your 500th episode, can we get your mission statement again? Like what exactly?
Oh yeah, no, it was very clear from the beginning. We got a little sidetracked, but we were trying to clear Adnan Syed. We believe that there were inconsistencies in that case, and when you really look into it, you know, you gotta like he was seen in the library that night, and it doesn't make sense. And I just think his lawyer didn't do him justice.
Does it?
And
that's why Serial did this.
And this is just one of those stories from this life in America. As Americans, and we try to tell those stories.
But that's what people don't know is Lars and I lived, and this part is true, right near that Best Buy.
We were roommates right happened. Near there. I'm like wow. Almost a literal stone's throw. Like if you had a good arm.
No, when cereal started, I was like, that's the fucking Best Buy I used to go to. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have a payphone. That was... but yeah, that was our mission statement, and I think we did it. And yeah, before Lars was on, I did it with Brian Dunkelman for a season, and it didn't work out.
I guess his doubts about Adnan's guilt just got to him.
But yeah, no, it's crazy. Like in a quasi sincere, it does feel like we're quitting doing this. No,
you're,
like when
you,
I started
eulogizing yourself,
right?
I know. When I started doing the show with Lars, I lived in Boston, and like I have moved from Boston to Richmond to Baltimore to LA, and we've continued to do this for a long time, and it's been okay sometimes. I think
okay sometimes.
Yeah, I moved from Mount Washington, Baltimore to Pikesville, Baltimore, back mm-hmm. to Catonsville. And then, you know, into Baltimore City. Oh, and I was in Pigtown for a second. That's also in South Baltimore. Jesus Christ.
So we both, like, been pretty... We both moved around a lot, is what
we're
saying.
Well, we've both been experiencing life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, living that lifestyle. The end.
Yes, yeah, so that was 500 episodes.
Thanks for joining us, you guys.
Oh,
yay! No, yeah. You did it!
Congratulations!
These guys also have podcasts that you should listen to. I don't know, Marty, will you ever get to 500? You could just claim that one of them's 500, right? You guys do
them. We almost did that as a bit today, where we should just do our 500th episode if we have to ask.
That would have been good. You should have done that.
We have time.
I'm sorry
our show comes out
that... It's weird that Jonathan steadfastly refused to be on this episode. I took that personally, that he told us he would not.
You should not take that personally, Joel. But Lars, go ahead and take that personally.
Okay. I'll take it personally.
Yeah, your vendetta with Jonathan is only getting deeper as time goes by. So
the thing is, I mean, that's fine, and I'm okay with it. I actually kind of enjoy it. The only qualm I have is it was in vendetta started and proliferated only by him.
Yeah, yeah. And maintained to this day.
And maintained.
Day. Escalated.
I haven't participated in the vendetta.
No.
Just like enjoyed it from a distance as if I was also someone on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But I am the only other person participating in the vendetta, but not Emma. Passive participator, I suppose. Okay, cool.
He also famously on this show accused you of cheating at trivia, like if you remember.
He did. Mm-hmm. He did. He accused me of cheating. He thought I cheated one night until in consequent nights when I just shit the bed constantly.
Yeah. You were good once, and so he was suspicious, and then you were bad after that. So that cleared your name. Well, thank you, people who came out and sat in a room to listen to us talk about the history of the show. You guys are all awesome, and I'm glad that we met you and did shows with you. I really love, by the way, if we go back in the history, our Nicolas Cage crossover was one of my favorite things that we did.
That was a really good one.
Yeah.
And Marty, if we keep doing it, we'll do something memorable with you eventually.
Yeah, someday. We'll have something worth remembering.
In 10 One years.
Day. I look forward to that day.
Yeah.
I love you, Chad, me too. But we can't be on your show because you have all these crazy eccentric characters on your show, so we can't actually participate.
Joel has been on our show at least once.
Joel Murphy has been on your show?
Yeah, as Joel Murphy.
What the hell?
I've been on your show, three times if you count the one. Four times if you count the two that we recorded earlier today.
And three of those four times as Joel Murphy.
Three of the four times.
Podcast Network.
Also, all of those shows as an adversary to Marty McGuire to balance out the vendetta that Jonathan has with Lars.
So look forward to that. More intra-podcast fighting.
Intra-podcast. If you're listening and you have a podcast that is out there just floating on its own and if you'd like to find a mothership, Peak Sloth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You look at freemrclark at twitter.com.
Mm-hmm. Yes, email him.
at Bald Ginger Fuck. That's out
at
there.
Bald Ginger Fuck. Feel free to hit me up on any kind of social media. I don't pay attention to it.
And email us at feedback@thecurioso.com.
Yeah, that's fine.
Sounds good.
I check your phone number spells hide a sword.
If you're really angry and want to talk shit about our show, we are at The Real Donald Trump on Twitter. Go ahead.
You'll know it's us if we have one of those blue check marks that verifies that it's really us.
Yeah, that's really us. That's really at The Real Donald Trump.
We usually tweet in all caps.
We really dislike being called the C word. Whatever C word you're thinking of, we really dislike that. So please don't use that word when you're talking shit about us.
So remember, kids, question everything.
Don't do drugs or you go to hell before you die.
If you miss this train, I'm on, then you'll know that I am gone. You can hear the whistle blow 100 miles, 100 miles, 100 miles, 100 miles, 100 miles. You can hear the whistle blow 100 miles. I'm one, Lord, I'm two, Lord, I'm three, Lord, I'm four, Lord, I'm 500 miles from my home. 500 miles, 500 miles, 500 miles, 500 miles, Lord, I'm 500 miles from my home. Not a penny to my name, Lord, I can't go home this away, this away, this away, this away, this away, Lord, I can't go home this away. If you miss this train, I'm then you know that I am gone. You can hear the whistle blow 100 miles, 100 miles, 100 miles, 100 miles, 100 miles. You can hear the whistle blow 100 miles, 100 miles. 100 miles, 100 miles, 100 miles. You can hear the whistle blow
100 miles. Remembers is that when I first did the show, my original sign off was ripping off Be Kind to Yourself and Each Other.
Hobo Radio is a production of HoboTrashCan.com. If you enjoyed the show, please rate or review it on iTunes. Hear more great shows on the Peak Sloth Podcast Network, like this one.
We Have to Ask. It's a podcast where we answer the question, are you going to eat that?
What will you leave behind?
Why get out of bed?
Will you be our neighbor?
I'm Marty.
And I'm Jonathan.
We're two hosts.
Infinite universes.
We have to ask.
New interviews every Tuesday.
Find us on iTunes or online at wehavetoask.com or with the other great podcasts on the Peak Sloth Network at peaksloth.com.